We're turning in the scriptures this day to three portions of scripture which are parallel. In the Gospels. So first of all, Matthew chapter 12. And if you have markers in your Bible, perhaps I'll just give you the three. We'll say them again as we get to them. But Matthew 12, Mark 3, and Luke 6. We'll begin just at verse 9 of Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then if we turn to Mark's Gospel in chapter 3, Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. Mark 3 and verse 1, And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which hath the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good or on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. The Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. And then thirdly, to Luke and to chapter 6, Luke's Gospel in chapter 6. And here we'll read from the first verse, just to get the background. All three have the same episode before, Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Amen. So these are the three relevant passages to what we want to consider here today. And we will bow before the Lord and ask his help. Our Father, we pray that thou wilt give us understanding of these things. We pray, Lord, that they might be of benefit to us, and that we might, in our understanding and comprehension, Lord, we pray that that word which has gone forth through all the earth and come to our ears may bear fruit in our lives, and that it might add to our understanding also and our comprehension of all scriptures. Lord, we pray that thou wilt teach us thy way, that we might walk with thee. Hear us then, we ask, and continue with us this morning. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. So here we have then a second teaching concerning the Sabbath, and they come one after the other. We always have to take note when things come up in twos. The scripture speaks about in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and we always take note, particularly when something is said twice. For instance, the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and to Samuel, "Samuel, Samuel," and to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon." And those things were to bring particular attention to them. And here we have these two references to the Sabbath. And here in Luke it says, "It came to pass also on another Sabbath." And in Matthew it says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue." That is after going through the cornfields. And yet the two things follow. It occurs to me that perhaps as Luke was the person who went around a little like a journalist in this day and age and inquired of people whether or not or what things had happened, and so that he might record those things and write them to Theophilus, that perhaps he wasn't sure whether this was the same day or not, and rather to say that it was and be wrong, he would just say that it was on a Sabbath, so those things would be honest, because we certainly take the gospel writers to be honest in the way that they write. And so when there are these kinds of discrepancies, which seem to be a difference, they're not really a difference at all. The issue which was here, of course, was the same issue. And they are grouped together in the same way, which is an amazing thing. Some have said, amongst those who are called the higher critics, one copied from another. But then those details wouldn't be missed if they were copied from one from another, and there wouldn't be those kinds of discrepancies. The discrepancies speak of a true record of those who wrote. There are always discrepancies. If we went home today and we all wrote down what happened in this service, there would be differences. There would be differences in the way that we spoke. There would be differences in the way that we wrote. There would be differences in the things that we remembered. There's different things that we saw and didn't see. And obviously my perspective from up here is different to yours. The people at the back can see more than the people at the front, and so on. And so there can be discrepancies without there being any difference whatsoever in what actually happened. So here we have then this question once again of the Sabbath. And it's an important one. I nearly thought to myself, well, I preached on the Sabbath a couple of weeks ago, and perhaps I don't need to preach on it again. But the fact that the gospel writers, all three of them, of these synoptists, those who are writing from the same kind of time, all three of them have these two references together, suggests that it is important that we look at these two things together. So here we have a religious question, first of all. A Sabbath controversy. They wanted to know, didn't they, of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was going to do. In two of these accounts, we read in Mark 3 and verse 2, they watched him. And again, in Luke it says, they watched him. But Matthew has a little more, and he says, "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him?" So he records somebody actually asking the Lord Jesus. So here is this controversy. Is it right or is it wrong? Now, they obviously thought that it was wrong, because they watched him and they asked the question that they might accuse him. So they had already made up their mind that you were not to heal on the Sabbath day. And their righteousness then was the kind of a righteousness which was restricted to ticking boxes. They recognized that they needed to be in the synagogue. They recognized that it was important to have the Sabbath day. It was a day when they were to come apart and do nothing, no work of any kind, that nothing was to be done on that day apart from going into the synagogue. but they didn't recognize what the whole purpose of meeting together on the Sabbath day was. It had become just simply a tick-box requirement of righteousness, and the Jews had a lot of them. There were all kinds of things which they were required to do in order to be righteous, in order to be accepted by God in their way of thinking. And so the Sabbath day was one of those. We know that they had a Sabbath day's journey, a certain amount of steps, which they weren't allowed to go further than. We know that they would tithe on certain things, the mint and the cumin, and so on. And we know that there were all kinds of these different things which they had to do. They had to look right. They had to be right. They had to have their phylacteries. They had to have their prayers. They had to have certain things. And all these things had to be right, and they had to tick all these boxes in order to be righteous. And the Pharisees were really good at it. They ticked all the boxes. But the Lord Jesus speaks about the Pharisees in Matthew 5 and verse 20, and says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." It has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, the people of the time were constantly bombarded with the fact that the Pharisees were the holiest of all. That the Pharisees were the people. There was this continual propaganda. The propaganda is not a new thing. It has always been about. And, of course, there's lots of it around at the moment in these days, telling us what we should be thinking, what we should be doing, how we should be living, what we should be eating, and all kinds of different things. And that is constant all the time. But here, of course, what was constant was that the Pharisees were what you needed to aspire to, that you needed to be as good as them. You need to be as holy as they were. But the Lord Jesus says, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God, because their righteousness was just externals. It was all do this, do that, do the other thing, make sure you look good, make sure you look right, make sure you tick all these boxes. And that was what the controversy was about. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is not about ticking boxes. The Lord Jesus Christ is about worshipping the Father, teaching people to worship the Father, and loving the Father and loving his neighbor as himself. And that love and that compassion that he has overrides all the boxes that they wanted to tick. And he actually speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees and says, you tithe the mint and the cumin and the anise, but the weightier matters of the law, you don't take any notice of those. About looking after the widow, looking after the fatherless, and caring for people. There's no thought of those things in your minds. So this then is a religious question. It's about religion. The word religion is used, isn't it, in a kind of a secular way about people doing things religiously. And so perhaps people might get up in the morning and religiously, they will get up, they will brush their hair first, they will get dressed next, or they'll go into the bathroom, clean their teeth next, and then they'll get dressed, and then they'll make their breakfast, and they put the coffee on first, and they put the toast in the toaster, and they put the butter on, and then the marmalade, or whatever else it is that they do. But religiously, every day is the same. And that's what this is about. It's about what you do religiously. But that's not what the Lord seeks from us. The Lord seeks something which is organic. It is loving him, loving our neighbour. And the Lord's love for us also is involved here in the Sabbath and in this controversy concerning the Sabbath. We see here then, from this Sabbath controversy, this scene of the conflict between the Lord Jesus Christ, who sees the Sabbath for what it actually is, a communion, a fellowship, the love of God for us, and the love which we have for the Lord, and those who considered it to be something which they needed to do. So the scene of the conflict then is the hearts of the people. We find that the Lord Jesus is grieved by them. He is grieved by them. And so the Lord Jesus sees what they are, what was in their hearts, and it says there, in Mark's Gospel, and chapter 3 and verse 5, and when he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, this is an emotional thing, isn't it? Now, we're very careful about emotions, aren't we? About not being too emotional not going over the top. But this is an emotional thing. This is the Lord being grieved. He is saddened to his heart. And when he looks upon the people, why is that sadness there? It's because he has a love for all the people, even those who are his enemies, even those who are against him here and will accuse him. Yet he loves them. And doesn't the Lord Jesus say that to us? He says, I say not unto you to love your neighbor, but to love your enemies and do good to those that despitefully use you. This was the heart of Christ. He was so grieved because he wanted them to understand, but they didn't understand. And they refused to understand. And they hardened their hearts. It says again in verse 5, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. It's an interesting word, that the word hardness is the word porosis in the Greek. We hear in these days of osteoporosis. But porosis is the Greek word there, and it is concerning the hardness of their hearts. They are hard. And the Lord Jesus, use the words reverently, but the Lord Jesus is soft. He is soft in his heart. He has a compassion. He has a care. He is interested in the people. He wants for them to know. He wants them to know the blessing of the Lord. Here is the real, true, down-to-earth love of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of these people. And he loves this man who has a withered hand and desires to do something for him. And he is grieved that those who are there are only there, in a sense, that they might criticize him for doing something about it. And this is the scene then of conflict. These men are zealous. Zealous for God, so they think. Romans 10, that we read together earlier in verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then we see here then in this religious question the statement of Christ. And it is just a simple one. There in verse 12 comes at the end of other things which he says. But there in verse 12 at the end of the verse it says, wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Now, that's the statement. And it could have stood by itself. But that's the statement that he puts before those people who are gathered together. It is good. It is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. So here's the religious question then. So we see, secondly, the real question is, first of all, what is the law? What is the law? In Matthew 22 and verse 36, we read, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here they are, they want to contend with Jesus about the law, but they don't even understand what the law is. They only see the commandments, they only see the instructions, they only see that this must be done, that must be done, but they don't understand that the foundation of the law is the very thing which Jesus Christ is manifesting before them, and that is love. He manifests it in the fact that he loves this man and desires to help him. He manifests it in the fact that he is grieved by them and is angry. And we think, well, how is anger a manifestation of love? But why would he be angry except that he desired them to have understanding? He cared about them, but they didn't care enough about themselves. They only cared about what they looked like. So the real question is, what is the law? The real question is, do we comprehend that the law is love? That's the foundation of it, that we should love our neighbour as ourselves. And then we could say the real question is, where is our love? Where is our love? The Lord Jesus being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. But what about our love? What about you? What about me? What manifestations of love do we have to those who are around us, even our enemies, even those who would despitefully use us? Do we care about them? There's not necessarily something that we can do about them. The Lord Jesus didn't in some way miraculously change their understanding. He didn't work in them so that they would suddenly comprehend what the law was. But he was grieved. Are we grieved by the world? Are we grieved by the hardness of the hearts of the world? Are we praying even before the Lord that some might be snatched, as it were, from the midst of these people? I keep referring back to that sermon that I preached a few weeks ago, a few months ago perhaps now, as time goes by so fast, about the gates of hell shall not prevail. And our desire is to see souls snatched from this darkness. But how shall we find them? The only way to find them is, of course, to go out as the Lord Jesus did and search for them. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And out there in Feltham, in Bedfont, in the surrounding areas, perhaps where you work, where you live, there are souls. And amongst them, somewhere, there are those who the Lord Jesus will save. And here the Lord Jesus, of course, is in the midst of this congregation in the synagogue, which is the gathering of people. People together is what the synagogue means. People together. And in the midst of them, there is one man. And again, we see this continually, how the Lord selects, as it were, one person. And we don't know why. Well, we know that this man had a withered hand. Luke tells us it was his right hand. The others don't say which hand it was. There is one of the false gospels or writings which weren't accepted into the canon of scripture, which suggests that he was a man who worked with his hands and couldn't work because his right hand was withered. But here is this person, and the Lord Jesus is in that synagogue with that man, and he says to that man, stretch forth thine hand, and he heals him. Now, we don't know why he was in that particular synagogue, but we know that the Lord does heal, and he will heal at his own purpose. It doesn't mean we can't ask, it doesn't mean we can't seek him and pray concerning these things, and the Lord certainly seeks for us to call upon him. But here is this person, and he heals this person. But where is our love? What can we do for someone? Who is it that we can help? Who is it who would be willing for us to help them? Because not everybody is. But this man was, clearly, as he stood forth and he stretched forth his hand. It says there in Luke 6, verse 10, the Lord said to him, stretch forth thine hand, and he did so. And his hand was restored, whole as the other. There are those who will do so. And we seek them to preach the gospel to them, to tell them, to help them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to do whatever it is that we can do for them. You see, this man, it doesn't say that this man was saved, does it? Perhaps he was. Perhaps the Lord saved him at the same time. Perhaps he became a follower of Jesus Christ. We don't know that. We need to keep in mind that not everything that we do is necessarily going to lead to salvation. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. The Lord Jesus speaks to this man, his hand is healed, he can go back to his work, whatever that work was. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord had saved his soul. So as Christians, you know, sometimes we think that the only thing that we're about is to see souls saved. If souls aren't being saved, then we're not doing the job right. Not necessarily so. We are still glorifying God, and we are still blessed in our own souls. In Psalm 116 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." But in 1 John 4 and verse 19, John says, "We love him because he first loved us." Do we love the Lord first and foremost? The point, of course, of the Pharisees coming on the Sabbath day into the synagogue was because it was a tick box. That's what you have to do. If you want to be a Jew, if you want to be high up in that organization of the religion, then you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other thing. And there are lots of people who go to church for the same reason. But the Lord Jesus was there because he was there to worship and he was there to serve. And when we come into the house of God, why are we here? Because it's something that we ought to do? Or because we love the Lord? Or because we love our neighbour? Because we want to encourage one another? We want to be able to say to one another, but there are other people like you. There are people like you, they have jobs like you do, they have lives like you do, they have failings like you do, they have successes like you do, and they are Christians like you are. And we gather together and we're encouraged together. And sometimes we can be discouraged when people don't turn up or people fall away. But do we love one another enough so that we can encourage one another in the way of the Lord? And do we love the Lord and his word? Do we want to hear it? We can usually judge how much we want to hear the word by the fact of in that morning before we go into the house of God, or perhaps even the day before, because mornings can be quite fraught, certainly with young families. But we have said to the Lord, "Lord, tomorrow is thy day. Speak to my heart. Tell me something. Reveal something to me. Because I love thy word. Because I love to be in thy presence. Make me a blessing to those who are around me. Because I love those people who gather into the house of God." Where is our love? This is the real question. But then there's finally a related question. And that is concerning what needs to be healed. Now obviously in the episode that we have recorded for us by these three gospel writers, it is a man whose right hand is injured or it is withered. And so that is what needed to be healed. But what do we need to be healed? In this related question, what can we say about this man and his right hand? Well, of course, the right hand is very important to many people. Not to all, we know. Some people are left-handed. But usually we think of the right hand as being the hand that we do things with. We write with the right hand. We hammer with the right hand. We use a screwdriver with the right hand. We do all kinds of things with our right hand. And when our right hand is not working and we have to start switching to the left hand, we find it hard to write. We find it hard to do things. Our hand doesn't respond the same way as our right hand does. And so we find great difficulty. So there's something to be said about the right hand concerning the work which we do. And when we come into the house of God, are we coming into the house of God so that our right hand might be strong? Do we come that the Lord might heal a right hand, that we might be about his work, about his business, that we might serve him in some way, that we can say to the Lord, "Lord, I don't feel that I'm serving you as I ought to be serving you, and I need that healing, the healing of my mind, the healing of my heart, the healing of my attitudes, all of these different things that we..." And where do we get them? In the synagogue. Well, we don't call it a synagogue, of course. We call it a church. But a church is the gathering of the people. It's a group of people. And the synagogue is exactly the same thing. So there are two words which mean the same thing, pretty much. We come into the house of God that we might be healed spiritually. Have you come that for that reason today? May it be that the Lord would heal us spiritually, that we might be refreshed, that we might be able to return to the work that we've not been doing because we've not felt up to it, because we didn't have the capability. What is it that we can do? For it is in the house of God that the Lord speaks to us. We've spoken about our love for the Lord and coming into the house of God because we love the Lord and because we love each other. But let's just see it from the other point of view, and that is the Lord loves to see you here. And all of his people in the various churches where the gospel is preached. Why? Because he loves you. He loves to see you. And he loves it particularly when you want to be here. And you're not just here to tick a box. And that's not to say, well, I don't really feel like it today, so I'll just stay at home, because I don't love to be there. But it's to say, I really ought to be there, and why don't I love to be there? Lord, increase that love and desire in my heart. But there must be something wrong with me if I don't desire to be in the presence of thy people and in the presence of the Lord. We ask the question, this related question, where is the healer on this day? The healer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did this man with a withered hand meet him? He was in the house of God. And the Lord has promised to be where two or three are gathered together in his name. The Lord is here. And we can be sure that the Lord is here. So let's seek him. And let's desire him. And finally, why do we need this health? Well, of course, for service. Matthew 12 and verse 11, in that account which Matthew gives, we find there in verse 10, the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And as Matthew records the full reply that the Lord Jesus gave. In verse 11 he says, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. He will not lay hold on it and lift it out. What do you lay hold on a sheep with? By your hands. And even with this man who has a right hand withered, you can't pull a sheep out of a pit with one hand. You need to be able to get hold of it with both hands. So why do we need this spiritual health? Why do we need this mental health? So that we might do the service of God. So that we can pull, as it were, the sheep from the pit. So that we can help men and women, young people, boys and girls, and as we come together to meet in the house of the Lord, we desire that we might meet with him who can heal us from all of those things. And he desires to do so because he loves us. May the Lord bless these thoughts and bless us and help us to meditate upon them and think about them. For it's so easy for us to go away and, like the birds, pick up the seeds on the wayside, the word to be lost to our contemplation. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let's give some time to contemplation of the word which he has given us in Jesus' name. Amen.